Story, if you recall, of the wise and the foolish builders. And we had two builders. One was called Doug and one was called Douglas. And Doug dug down deep and Doug dug less. In fact, Douglas didn't dig at all. And so, if you remember, his house came crashing down. And if you remember, that was the start of Jesus' ministry. Right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he gives a sermon on a mount. And this teaching is extraordinary. But at the end, Jesus is telling them, don't just hear, but do. Anybody can hear, but very few will take what they hear so seriously that they want to act upon it. And this week, we are talking about the parable, the story of these talents, or the three servants. I think we've got problems with the PowerPoint. Okay, we can leave that up as it stands, and that's okay. So when we think of Jesus' teaching, I think a lot of people think about what Jesus said in terms of morality or ethics or loving him or loving other people. But you know, one of the things I think that people forget when they think about Jesus' teaching is that when you read what Jesus said, he was actually really, really very humorous. Jesus would often use humor to get a point over. If you think about what he called his followers, he called Simon Peter Rocky. He spoke about John and James and he called them the sons of thunder. Somebody who opposed Jesus, Herod. Somebody people were afraid of. On one occasion, Jesus said, but he is a sly fox. And you can imagine that the crowd gasped. And in the crowd, there were religious leaders. And Jesus said of these religious leaders that they were like whitewashed tombs. He said, because on the outside, you look really clean and pristine, but on the inside, you're just full of dead men's bones. You see, on one occasion, these leaders were trying to trap Jesus. And they said, so Jesus, should we pay our taxes? Should we pay our money to Caesar? And Jesus said, go and catch me a fish. So they came back with a fish and he said, open its mouth. And they opened its mouth. And inside its mouth was a coin. And he said, whose head is on that coin? And they said, Caesar's. He said, well, give that to Caesar and give to God what's God. He completely baffled them. He was using humor. He was making fun. He was revealing that he had wisdom that they did not. And as I read this story, I realized that Jesus is telling a story to a group of people. But actually, the sums of money he was using just seemed at the time to be utterly and absolutely ridiculous. So why did Jesus use such absurd quantities? I think he was getting a response. I think he was having fun. But I think he was also teaching us a principle that we can learn from this morning. You see, Jesus said there was a master. And this master had three servants, three people who were looked down on in society, three people who are not seen to have much worth, three people who can't always be trusted. And this master was going on a long journey. So Jesus said to the first servant, I'm going to give you 5 talents. 5 talents? You see, 35 kilos of silver would take the average servant 20 years to earn. Jesus is saying that this master would give the first servant 100 years' wages, and the second, he would give 40, and the third, he would give 20. And I reckon the crowd were chuckling. Well, first of all, that's absurd. But secondly, he's not going to see that money again, is he? You see, this was an escape plan. But there's 4 things I just want to pick out very quickly. The first is this, that the gift was given generously. The master didn't say, there's enough just to tide you over. Or there's enough to tide you over and a little bit if you just want to care for yourself. What he did is he gave generously. He gave lavishly. He gave from his heart. You know, the second thing is that the gift was really incredibly useful. He didn't say to these three servants, here's a painting of me that you can remember me by, or a little trinket for your mantelpiece. He said, I'm going to give you some money because money is useful. You know, Jesus taught more about money than prayer. Did you know that? I wonder why that is. Someone once said money makes the world go around. That's nonsense because God does. People have often told me, well, of course, Gareth, it says in the Bible that money is the root of all evil. But it doesn't say that in my Bible. It says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And money is something that we all live with. It's something that we all need. And the way that we appreciate, the way that we value money reveals something in our heart, and it reveals something of the way that we treasure God. The third thing I want to say is that this gift came with great responsibility. He said to this first servant, there's 100 years worth of wages, to the second there's 40, and to the third there's 20. And so I want you guys to do something with it. So if he gave them a field each, they would have been responsible for growing crops. If he gave them a flock of cattle each, they would have been responsible for maintaining the cattle and maybe breeding the cattle and generating profit from the cattle. But instead he gave them these talents. They were responsible. They had decisions to make as to how they stewarded that money. And the fourth thing is that the gift brought great joy. You see, it says in Matthew chapter 25 that the master was full of praise for the first servant, the servant with 5 talents. And he said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in stewarding, and I've never, ever, ever seen this before. You have been faithful in stewarding this small amount. Do you hear the crowd chuckling? If I was to give you 100 years worth of the average salary, would you see that as a small, insignificant thing? You'd see that as huge, wouldn't you? But Jesus said, I've given you something small. And now I'm going to give you something large. And I think that Jesus is teaching us something, that if we're faithful, then he will be faithful. And what he gives us on earth will be multiplied. It will seem, however big, to be trivial in light of what is to come. He did the same with the servant with the 2 bags. But with the third servant, the one who simply buried the money into the ground, instead of rewarding him, he banished him. Now, when we think of the word talent, we no longer think of hard cash. We don't think of dollars, or we don't think of sterling. We think of abilities. And the word talent that's used in the Bible has become used by us to mean ability, gift, or talent. And so I just want to unpack this very quickly again, that God gives us gifts, and he gives generously. He gives generously because he reveals Jesus to us. And he allows us to be forgiven, and he justifies us. That means it's like we've never sinned. And he places his spirit within us, and he adopts us. But he also gives to his children different gifts. Paul says to the church in Corinth that a spiritual gift is given to each so we can what? We can help each other. So that means that if you're a believer in Jesus this morning, you have received a gift or gifts from God. And if you say, well, not me, that's not humility. That's to deny the giver. If you're a believer in Jesus, if you're a child of God, then your Father in heaven has given you a gift. And this gift is not useless. This gift is really, really useful. It's to help each other. Paul goes on to speak about these gifts, and he said there are gifts of prophecy, gifts of tongues, gifts of encouragement, gifts of service, gifts of helps. Lots of different gifts that are given so we can be useful. But you know, we have a responsibility with those gifts. Now I'm going to share something of my story, okay? I believe that from an early age, God called me to preach and to teach. Now, that means if God calls me to do something, he's going to enable me, isn't he? And if God doesn't enable me, then actually he's not a good father, because he's asking me to do something that I'm incapable of doing. So if I say I believe that God has given me a gift to preach and to teach, that's not to be boastful. Because I think that there are people who have much, 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 much stronger gifts of preaching and teaching than I have. But I'm not responsible for their call. I'm only responsible for mine. I also want to say that sometimes I find it really hard work. I find it really hard work to prepare messages. But if you've got a gift of music and you can play the guitar, there'll be times, I suspect, you have to practice till your fingers are sore. That doesn't deny the gift. It means you've got a responsibility to develop the gift that God has given you. So if God gives you a gift of helps, you've got a responsibility to do what? To help people. If you've got a gift of service, you've got a responsibility to do what? To serve people. I've just come downstairs earlier and I've seen that Jill's done this amazing collage. Is it a collage, a wall display in the Minor Hall? If you gave me 20 years to do that, I don't think I could achieve it, because that's Jill's gift, not mine. But it still took time of preparation. I've had the joy this week. Where's Joseph? I've worked with Joseph in the fountain. Joseph's got an amazing gift. Joseph sees what I don't. He knows what is about to happen. I don't know how. And he gets busy and he gets active. And all the customers love Joseph. That's because he's got a gift. And he's using it for the glory of God. And so gifts come with responsibility. But you know, when we use the gifts that God has given us, that brings joy. I know I'm really privileged. In life, I'm privileged. I've got a family. I've got friends. I live in a beautiful area. I'm part of a wonderful church. I'm privileged. But the thing that brings joy is knowing when I do something that brings joy to my Father in heaven. And if you've got a gift that God has entrusted to you, then you've got a responsibility. And as you serve in that useful gift, it brings joy to God. It brings joy to others. And it brings joy in you. And however small that gift, however great that gift, however much this amazing value of 100 years' wages might appear, Jesus said it's small in light of the treasure that awaits for those who know their Master, for those who serve him with a good and a glad heart. Because one day you and I will stand before him, and the words that you and I want to hear is what? Well done, good and faithful servant. Now we're going to take a minute. Ali is going to come and share something with us. And I think some of you will think, well, I'm not getting involved in this. I want everyone to get involved in this, because at the end, we're going to just have a 5-minute reflection, Ali and I. Nobody's going to be exposed. No names are going to be given. But Ali is going to come and share with you what we do next.